Oh, it's changed a lot. It's 20% of the economy, so it's bound. It's a big piece. I would point to first is the passage of the Affordable Care Act, which really changes things. It represents a national commitment to insuring everybody and to give states tools around payment reform. And I think Rhode Island has been. The structure of the Affordable Care Act was to provide resources to the states, and I think Rhode Island has been well positioned to take advantage of that. I just think the second, and the office has had some part of this, is we have really worked hard to improve the primary care infrastructure in the state. The data is pretty clear. The only part of our system where the more we have, the lower our costs and the better our quality is primary care. And the data is also pretty clear that we have systematically impoverished our primary care providers, not only in Rhode Island, but in nationally.
So not enough people were getting primary care, like seeing the doctor regularly, getting, you know, some preventative medicine, but also that primary care doctors just haven't been making what you think they should be making compared to doctors in other specialties.
Right. We actually have a relatively good supply of primary care docs and good data around the ability of our people in Rhode Island to see those primary care docs based on data from the Department of Health.
It's not an access problem. It's not a number of doctors problem.
It is a future problem, and it's the ability of those doctors to do everything that they've been trained to do. So we have doctors seeing a lot of people, but they're seeing them for 15-minute repeat visits. I was talking to a primary care doctor and about the changes, and this actually made me feel really good. He said, people who are chronically ill in Rhode Island are getting much better care than they did 8 years ago because I have the capacity to think about them for more than the 15 minutes that they show up and then not think about them for the next 3 months. I have electronic health records. I have nurses that follow up with them. I have the ability to give them educational materials and help them engage in their chronic conditions. I think that's really different from what primary care was able to do, except in a few places.
And part of that success is you can trace back to some infrastructure that your office helped put in place?
I'd say we helped to put in place. I think we've had partners along this, but we have really worked hard to make more money available for high-quality primary care and then to define what constitutes high-quality care, high-quality primary care, this idea of the patient-centered medical homes. And so we really tried to put together standards for what constitutes high-quality primary care, and then to align payments across the insurers through this Chronic Care Sustainability Initiative, our all-payer patient-centered medical home project, that by the end of the year, 20% of our primary care practices will be enrolled in it.
So spell it out for people who aren't familiar with this concept of a patient-centered medical home. What does that mean?
A patient-centered medical home tries to lay out the characteristics of what constitutes high-quality primary care by going to consumers, by looking at the research and saying, what should good high-quality primary care be? It should be accessible, meaning you can get appointments when you need it, same-day appointments. It should not differentiate between seeing you during the day and answering your questions after hours, so you should have access to someone on the phone. It should have electronic health records. It should have the ability to take care of and pay attention to the 5% of the people who are driving 50% of our costs. So you ought to have extra resources in those primary care settings that are outside of that 15-minute visit to help the people with asthma, with diabetes, with congestive heart failure, to treat and manage those conditions. What we've been able to accomplish in Rhode Island is alignment among the payers to say, yes, we will pay you differently. We will pay you, primary care doctor, to do this, and then when you achieve it, we will pay you differently, as opposed to just paying you for this 15-minute visit.
Let's talk a little bit about what still is to be done in your mind in terms of transforming the healthcare landscape here in Rhode Island. Maybe you would presume to lay out a few priorities you'd love to see tackled over the next couple of years.
Oh, there's plenty more work to be done. I think that if you talked to consumers, they remain concerned about how the care could be better coordinated, that experience of coordination is still not good. And if you talk to people who buy health insurance, whether they're the patients or the employers, the costs are not under control, I mean, in spite of our hard work. So I think that we actually, as a country, know that doctors practicing in groups supported by electronic health records are the way to go. They can deliver higher quality and lower cost care. We don't know how to make that happen. We have mostly docs practicing independently. So the task for the future is going to be, how do we integrate how do we get the docs to form teams to do this kind of work, and how do we pay them to do it? And I think we have to make it in consumers' interest to want this sort of thing. If the consumer defines quality as choice, they're not going to see a group of doctors as giving you what you need. And so that's where I think things like the health insurance exchange becomes very important, because if I'm buying my health insurance and I find that I can save money if I go to this more coordinated group of doctors, then maybe I'll think, oh, choice isn't so much. Choice costs money. And if I'm willing to work within a group, I can get better quality and lower costs. Right now, I don't realize that. I just have my employer buy health insurance, and I don't know. I just look to see if my doctor's on the list.
Tell me a little bit about what you think Rhode Islanders can reasonably expect to see in terms of their health insurance and in terms of cost.
I think in the short run, you will continue to see moderate upward pressure in health insurance, something bigger than general health insurance rates, something bigger than general inflation, but not as bad as what we experienced a few years ago. I think that's because Medicare really sets the tone, and Medicare can't afford what it's paying, and so it's going to put continued pressure on providers to change what they're doing, and I think commercial health insurers can follow suit. The biggest change for Rhode Island will be the continued implementation. We've already been implementing it, of the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
For most people who get their health insurance through their employers, the Affordable Care Act will either not change things, as was promised to them, or will give them some more places to look, some places to comparison shop. For small businesses and for individuals, people who buy their health insurance on their own, they are going to find a much clearer marketplace, a much easier way to understand the trade-offs between different kinds of insurance products. I also think that if we in the public sector do our job, you're going to see more transparency. The things that have been hidden will become more apparent. So,
and you've done quite a bit to make that happen, directing hospitals, for example, to disclose what they're getting paid and health insurers.
Right, right. I think that there is too much that we have just accepted as being hidden, and there's no particular reason for it to be hidden. When you go into the doctor's office, you should be able to understand what your different options cost you.
Chris Kohler, outgoing Commissioner of Health Insurance for Rhode Island, we wish you luck in your next position. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.